Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi there. Good morning on this sort of gloomy in L.A. Monday. This is Sally Kirkland, and I'm really happy to be doing this show today. I may have my best girlfriend, Maggie Wagner, calling in from New York, but she's in front of the film camera, so it all depends on whether they're using her or not. But meanwhile, what I want to do is, you know, my favorite person in the world, he's in heaven now, is a man named John Roger. I know I've talked about him a lot on this show. Excuse me. And he wrote a wonderful book called Timeless Wisdom. And I don't know about you, but my life in the last couple of days has been up and down and up and down. And so I know reading portions of this book brings me right away to my soul, my heart, you know, my higher consciousness. So it would do me good to be reading it, much less hopefully to any of you out there in Radio Land listening. I understand from Linda McKenzie, my boss here, that this show goes to 135 countries, which just blows my mind. So whoever, wherever, what time, whenever you are hearing this, I hope you feel what I feel when I read his words. I'm going to read first a page that I just turned to by accident because it seemed to affect me at an immediate moment. So it's from a book called Timeless Wisdoms, the Movement of Spiritual Awareness, my church for 50 years, sells it, I think, for $10. But I'm starting on page 83, and he says, you can use whistling much like the gas gauge in your car. The closer your gas gauge moves towards empty, the more negative feedback you have about the fact that your car is running out of gas. You can use suffering as a gas gauge to show how far you are from being fully in your spiritual center. So when something happens that appears to hurt you, rather than resisting it and pushing it away, you will embrace it. You will expand your consciousness to encompass the changes in the new situation and to find what new freedoms are available to you. When you experience negative feedback, you can just say, oh, yes, that taught me this, and let it go. It's like yesterday's 4,000th breath. Do you know which breath that was? Heavens no. You've let it go. It was inconsequential to you, and that's the way all things become. You keep coming to right now, here, watching. When you get out of the past, you can use all the errors, all the mistakes, all the learning, all the everything as your fertilizer for greater growth. You can use it all to lift you. It's also important to understand that growing is not necessarily equated with having a smooth week. You can be making forward positive progress while you are feeling bad or experiencing confusion. Your accurate perception of what is really going on may be overshadowed at any moment by the negative aspects of your mind and emotions. But we all get things the way we get them. And if it's through some pain and confusion and turmoil, then it's the way... If it's through some pain and confusion and turmoil, then it's that way. It is the value received that is the important thing. But when you curse and complain, you place negativity conditioned energy around you, and you get negativity. When you bless, love, and use everything that comes your way for your upliftment, learning, and growth. You bring positive, loving, supportive experiences into your field of energy. You can't miss. It's a natural result. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to put another pillow behind my challenging neck. There, much better. Okay. There is a spirit inside of you, watching out for you and taking care of you, no matter what. Something that looks like your greatest catastrophe is really your greatest blessing, because it will lift you into the next level of awareness. So when things happen that may seem unfair at first glance, look for the loving lesson underneath. If you can't see it there, put it there yourself so that you see everything that happens to you through the eyes of loving. I'll tell you the name of that chapter should you want to order this book. It's such a great book. It's called Use Everything for Your Upliftment, Learning, and Growth. That was page 83. Now, I'm going to go back to the beginning, or towards the beginning of this book, and read you some things that I seem to have earmarked, you know, in order to share with people at a later moment. So, I'm on page 11, and it says, you are a soul. The soul is love, joy, happiness, peace, thanksgiving, charity, benevolence. The soul is all the positive qualities. The soul is your connection to God's loving heart. It is living water that comes from food, living food that nourishes you, the living breath that gives you life. The soul's first name is love. Its middle name is truth, and its last name is everlasting. Love and truth everlasting. Hold on a sec. I'm sorry if I coughed this morning. Bear with me. The soul, which is who you are, is a sacred, integral unit of energy, so beautiful that the whole cosmos and all the universes are contained within it. It is a prototype of all existence, complete in one energy unit. There is nothing that exists anywhere in the universe of which you are not a part, through the energy of the soul. Thoughts cannot conceive the greatness of the soul. You can't find the majesty of the soul in science books or math books. You may not even be able to consciously look and find a key that awakens something inside of you a little more than before. So all you can do is let go and say, it's beyond my mental ability. I think you should play that earmarks. When you are traveling through this life and attending to your daily routine, there are times when you feel the light radiate to you and you say, oh my God, thank you for your blessings. You feel momentarily blissed out. That's just an inkling of the soul you are. And the soul is everywhere. It's in the laughter. It's in the twinkle in the eyes. It's in the touch. It's in the empathy you experience when someone else is hurting. It's in the joy you experience when someone you love is happy. It's in all of that and more. You do experience the soul directly, not by reflection or interpretation, but directly. You get glimpses of what it is. Excuse me, you get glimpses of knowing. Loving encompasses and fills everything. Joy shines inwardly. The trials of the world fade in power. All becomes one. You know your source and your comings and your goings from that source. All needs are already fulfilled. And there is nothing except loving communion with God. These are small signposts of soul experience. Above all, the soul is hopelessly and incorrigibly living love. It is the lover. It goes on in blissful ignorance of the pain and suffering experienced by the personality, emotions, mind, and imagination. The more loving you are, the more you free yourself to experience the soul. And when you reach the soul level, turning the page, there is only a knowingness of God that does not rely on the body, mind, emotions, or imagination. It just is. In soul awareness, there are no thoughts about God or feelings about God. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. There are no thoughts about God or feelings about God, and you are not imagining how God will be or should be. You are not involved in your image of God. You are simply aware of God. Now, the next chapter says, find out who you really are. Okay. First, you learn who you are, and when you learn who the real self is, the false images fall away. Thought you were, the philosophy you thought you were, these may fall away. You may find out that all of these philosophies that you've been adhering to just don't work. But you may be afraid to throw them away because you don't know what will take their place. When you get rid of the things that don't work, you will find the true self. If you could just once see within the true self, if you could get that image just once in your consciousness for a fraction of a second, you could go on for the rest of your life, using that as an inner guiding light. And to live on the level of your true self, you give yourself over to the truth of your own beingness completely. Then, you find yourself moving into an awareness of your soul consciousness, and in that you find your freedom. What it comes down to, turn the page, hold on a second.
Hi, Sally.
Is the commitment to yourself, and that starts when 10 billion times a day, 10 billion percent, you commit to the upliftment and the unfoldment that is your spiritual nature. You commit yourself to yourself, not to the personality, or the emotions, or the body, or the wallet, which is that very essence of God that we identify as the soul. Hold on a second. Mozzie, are you there?
Yes.
Wait, let me get the volume better. Talk now.
Hi, Sally. Mozzie? Yes?
Hello, hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, Sally. I'm in New York.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Sally. Hello.
Our sponsor today has been the Church of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. The purpose of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, MSIA, is to teach soul transcendence, which is becoming aware of yourself as a soul and as one with God, not as a theory, but as a living reality. MSIA offers an approach to living that focuses on how to incorporate spirituality into your everyday life. We call it practical spirituality. You can reach MSIA by going into the web on www.msia.org or phoning area code 323-737-4055 and asking to be on the free mailing list. You can also go into your web and find out events, prayer lists, latest news, and any books and tapes available. God bless you. Another of today's sponsors is the Institute for Individual and World Peace, otherwise called IIWP, or IWIP, in Los Angeles at 2101 Wilshire. We have many workshops and seminars related to the subject of individual and world peace. I, Sally Kirkland, feel that at this time of war in the Middle East, that nothing is more important than all of us working on our individual peace so we can help world peace.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hello? Hello there? Okay, Maggie Wagner?
Yes.
Maggie Wagner,
I'm here.
Brilliant actress, best friend of Sally Kirkland for 40 years, lives in New York, communicates with me daily to L.A., is the love of my life. If she was a guy, I'd marry her. Hi.
Hi, Sally.
Hi, honey. So,
so our movie was in Florida.
Oh, yeah, you're asking me or telling me?
Yes, how was the movie that, you know, Sallywood
in
Florida?
The movie? Oh, yeah, it was great. There were about 3 screenings of about 200 or 300 people, and we all loved it. And Sallywood is a comedy with drama, and my supporting players are Keith Carradine and Eric Roberts and Meg Tilly and Maria Conchita Alonso. And my leading man is a young actor named Tyler Spielman. And it was a huge success. They gave me a Lifetime Achievement Award, the Vero Film Festival. And thanks for asking. It was really a lovely experience. And how is your filming now? What are you doing? Tell me.
My movie in Buffalo, New York, with Michael Mahler directing.
And Michael Mahler is the son of Norman Mahler, the writer.
That's right. It's called Cut Man.
Uh-huh.
And it stars William Fichtner and Chris Noss.
Oh, yeah, I know Chris, yeah.
You know Chris?
Yeah. Yeah.
And some new...
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was going to say, we haven't seen each other in 20 years or something, but good actor.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So,
and I play a very nasty person.
Oh, good. You'll have fun with that.
Yeah, I did it already. Done. Yeah.
Oh, good. So you're happy with what you did?
Yeah. And I'm going to come out and visit you in California.
Oh, I hope soon. How soon?
I know. I know. Very soon. Very soon. Like within hopefully a few days.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Well, that'll
make
give
me so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, I need you. I need you big time.
You're so cute.
No, really.
Sorry.
How long has it been since we've seen each other?
About 6 months.
Wow, Maggie. How long can you stay?
You know?
Uh-huh.
Get discovered.
Yeah, right.
I'm kidding.
Right.
But anyway,
well,
this is great. So what are you up to?
Okay, let me think.
You're getting...
I'm asking for prayers from whoever's listening because I'm physically in my body. I'm having challenges. I broke my left wrist. And then now my left shoulder is in constant pain. So my whole left arm...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Maybe you're sleeping funny. Or...
No, I sleep on my right side. This is all on my left side. And I
don't
get to see the doctor until 10:20 tomorrow, but I'm going to ask him to give me what's called lidocaine injections.
Yeah, so your shoulder,
my
too.
Shoulder.
Yeah. Because that's crazy. You can't...
I know.
Not much going on, but, you know, hopefully soon. Oh, my God. People in the background.
Say what you just said?
No, there's like 300 people behind me, so if you hear noise.
Okay. What else has been going on? Let me think. My new friend in life is the incredible singer Paul McCartney. So we've been texting.
That's incredible. That's just incredible.
And, incredible singer, incredible songwriter. I didn't realize
it's so amazing.
He and John Lennon were the two writers of all of the Beatles songs. I didn't know that.
Right. Did you know that the Beach Boys, the guy, you know, the guy who was the lead of the Beach Boys, what was his name? Brian Wilson?
Yeah.
When he heard Paul McCartney on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah.
He had a nervous breakdown, I think.
Why?
Because he thought that the Beach Boys were going to be the new hot group.
Oh. Interesting.
And he heard Sgt. Pepper, and he went crazy.
Really? Interesting. Where did you hear that?
A little birdie told me about that story.
Oh.
He said they thought the Beach Boys were going to be like the new thing, you know?
Yeah.
But after they heard that, they just, you know, that was the end of that. because, you know, the Beatles are so amazing. Sure.
I listen to the Beatles almost every day or watch the videos because they always uplift me. But anyway, what else has been happening?
Well, you've been getting better. You're getting better.
Physically, yeah.
Yeah, you had a wrist. You hurt your wrist. Broke your wrist.
Yeah. I was wearing a brace for a long time, and then I misplaced it, so I think I have to get another one.
I know, and now you're going to get another brace, yeah. But maybe not as hard as the other brace, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, But I go to the doctor tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I haven't been acting recently. I was offered over $1,000 to do a promotion for a film, you know, a film that's raising its money, I guess.
Okay.
But I haven't read the script yet.
And then there's a movie in Providence, Rhode Island that they're interested in you, that they were just talking to me about.
Oh, that's right. We would act together, right?
Yeah, that's happening this summer, so we're just waiting. I don't know what we're waiting for.
What is it now? The spring, right?
Yeah, it's only April. So there's a few things on the table for you.
Yeah.
But
you seem like you're always busy.
I'm actually on a set right now in New York with John Hamm.
Yeah, wonderful.
Wonderful, and a few other famous people. And I'm a tennis player, so I'm just playing tennis today at the Sleepy Hollow Golf and Tennis Club. And
are you
it's a very
with
famous,
John Hamm?
Well, I'm playing on the same court, let's put it that way, but
right,
not with
right,
him.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
So this is a very famous country club that was 100 years old, that was the house of the Vanderbilt Mansion.
Oh, wow.
And the glory of the Vanderbilt, you know, the Vanderbilt, they have a mansion. They had a mansion the size you can't even imagine, and I'm standing right in front of it at their house. And it became a country club, you know, it was that big.
Right.
You know, it was like, you know, they have a golf course and tennis courts. So we're playing here today on a new TV series called Swipe.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be on Apple Plus.
Uh-huh.
And we're, you know, we're playing tennis on the show. So, you know, just today and maybe tomorrow. That's it. But that's it. So, you know, I had two hip replacements, so it's very good for me to be able to play tennis again.
Really? I would say so. But you're feeling good with the hip stuff, right?
Oh, no, I'm feeling great. It's just tennis is interesting when you've had a replacement, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not, you can't move the way you used to move, so.
Really?
It's very weird. Yeah, you don't have that lateral kind of back and forth.
Agility?
I can't explain. You can't agility. You're not as fast as you were.
Yeah.
You know, I'm strong. I'm just not fast. You know, I used to be faster. What can you do? You know, it's part of the healing thing.
So you really think you'll be out here within the week, Maggie?
Yeah. In fact, they're calling me now to go back there, so I better go. Oh,
okay.
But
okay, honey.
Can you talk without me? Of course you can.
Say that love.
I love you very much.
Yeah. Okay. We love each other so much. Don't have great,
so much.
Great
and everybody
before.
Loves Sally. She's the best.
Okay.
And
honey.
I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to, Jay's going to come back at 8:32, I think. I'm going to be really conspicuous. Much more often it is quiet and simple. And as you move more into the spirit within you, someone looking from the outside might not notice the difference in you, which can be a real slap to the ego. So the ego may want to reassert itself out of self-importance. But if you are in your ego, you are not in your soul. You will know you are in your soul when you are just being ordinary, just living your life simply and directly, doing what is in front of you without looking for recognition. And this is called, you are a multidimensional being. You are on all levels of light. Right now, in this moment, you are already in soul consciousness. And you don't need to do anything except recognize it. Your opportunity is to become totally aware and completely capable of maintaining multidimensional awareness. The reason you can have spiritual awareness on many levels is because the soul manifests itself on many levels. On the physical plane, you have the realization of your soul through the physical body. On the astral realm, through the imagination. On the causal, through the emotions. On the mental, through the mind. On the etheric, through a state of preparation. And on the soul realm, in a state of being on the realm just above that, in a state of total awareness. And on the realm above that, in a state of pure spirit or God consciousness. These, then, are eight possible states of soul awareness. A wondrous God set up all this. The multi-levels of consciousness presented inside you are linked together in such a way that you can experience an awareness of them. To be consciously aware of any or all of these levels, you need only expand the consciousness to encompass them. The way to expand the consciousness instantly is to move directly into the soul, which has all vision, all knowledge. It takes great discernment to do this, and when you do, you will experience the soul consciousness. Prior to that, you are, quote, dead to this level, when you are most alive to the soul level. This is because in the spiritual realms of soul, there is no time and no memory. It is spontaneous awareness. You do not bring back memory of that level to the physical level. What you can do is move back and forth between the levels quickly. You bridge the levels more and more swiftly so that you develop multidimensional awareness by having it, not by remembering it. It is not a process of memory. It is actually a process of spontaneously moving between one level and the other until you can do it so quickly that it appears you are aware of both levels simultaneously. As you develop your ability to do this, you may find yourself moving in and out of soul consciousness many times. The trick is to recognize when that shift happens and still maintain soul consciousness. Until you can do that, it is okay to keep moving in and out of soul consciousness. That will give you practice, and practicing joy and loving is more fun than practicing depression, anxiety, and fear. Put yourself in training for soul consciousness by practicing the positive aspects of living and loving. Also, give yourself permission to move through a range of expressions and experiences in this life, knowing they are all part of the human condition and part of your multidimensional beingness. You must be grounded here on the earth, as well as have awareness of soul and spirit. All must be balanced, and then you can move forward. When all is in balance, the Father's will and yours become one, so that there is no struggle between thy will be done and my will be done. You ask that the Father's will be done through you, by you, as you. So be smart. Get into the Spirit and use that to flood through all the other levels. Be 100% everywhere in the Spirit. It's the only way to experience multidimensional consciousness. Any other way is failure and illusion. I know we have a break soon, but I'll start off the next chapter. It says, the Christ resides in you. The Bible speaks of God's only begotten Son, John 3, verse 16. That Son, that Christ consciousness, is in each one of us, and it is the invisible part of us, the God part of us. When Jesus manifested that Christ spirit in the world, it became easier for us to recognize it and realize each of us possesses a part of that within ourselves. St. Paul wrote, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. This means that you are one with the Christ within and that God is totally present with you. Your challenge is to reach inside yourself and discover the God part and to work with it all the time. It is a never-ending process. When you turn inside of yourself and consciously, purposely, and directly reach for those things that enhance the spirit within, you experience the strength of the soul coming up inside of you. You experience a joy that has nothing to do with this level. You know an integrity within, turning the page, within you that lifts you up and steady strength that sustains you through all things. That prepares a place for the Christ consciousness to enter. You create a form into which the beloved may come. People have waited for 2,000 years for the King of Kings to appear in the sky and light up the world. But the King of Kings must first appear in your heart and light up your world. And that only happens when you have prepared that place inside of you where it can appear and live as your guiding light. So if you would live in the soul and spirit, you must be loyal to the soul and the nature of the soul, which is truthful, honest, and unconditionally loving. How do you do that? By dedicating yourself to the spiritual force within you, which is called the Christ, and making it the number one priority in your life. The traveler, in the movement of spiritual awareness, we refer to the Christ as the traveler, mystical traveler consciousness. The traveler teaches about the sacrifice of what is negative and limited in your consciousness. But sacrifice so that you may expand into what is positive and uplifting, so that you may discover your own Christ consciousness. When you won't sacrifice your anger for your loving expression, when you won't sacrifice your self-righteousness, which is wrongfulness, I think we're going to take a short break now, but I want to again say that this is a fabulous book you can get by calling 323-737-4055. It's called Timeless Wisdom, Volume 1, by John Roger, New York Times, number one best-selling author. So we're going to be back right after this break, and I'll do more of this.
Another one of our sponsors today has been Spiritual Warrior, The Art of Spiritual Living, a wonderful book written by John Roger, a New York Times number one best-selling author. This is put out by Manifold Press, and about the book, John Bradshaw says, Spiritual Warrior is a life-changing book. John Roger echoes my own intense desire to preserve spiritual focus in a world filled with distraction and anxiety. I welcome his crystal-clear light on the pathway of self-discovery. I found the words of a wise, practical man in Spiritual Warrior. You can access this by going into www.spiritualwarrior.org or phoning 323-737-4055 and asking for the shipping department, or ask in your local bookstore. God bless you. Our sponsor today has been Peace Theological Seminary, a sister organization of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. Peace Theological Seminary offers classes on the web. If you call 323-737-4055 and ask for PTS, they can put you on a free mailing list and explain the various classes that are offered, including classes in forgiveness, abundance, service, and many other subjects. Please, please, please call 323-737-4055 and ask for Peace Theological Seminary and ask to be mailed all of the available information. God bless you. Our sponsor today has been the Church of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. The purpose of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, MSIA, is to teach soul transcendence, which is becoming aware of yourself as a soul and as one with God, not as a theory, but as a living reality. MSIA offers an approach to living that focuses on how to incorporate spirituality into your everyday life. We call it practical spirituality. You can reach MSIA by going into the web on www.msia.org or phoning area code 323-737-4055 and asking to be on the free mailing list. You can also go into your web and find out events prayer lists, latest news, and any books and tapes available. God bless you.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio on the Web.
Okay, hi there. I've been reading from this wonderful book called Timeless Wisdom by John Roger, my teacher of 50 years. He's in heaven now. And I ended on page 24, and I'm going to maybe reread a section just to get my bearings back in place. Okay. Actually, I've marked this place, so it must be really important to me. People have waited for 2,000 years for the King of Kings to appear in the sky and light up the world, but the King of Kings must first appear in your heart and light up your world. And that only happens when you have prepared that place inside of you where you can appear and live as your guiding light. So if you would live in the soul and spirit, you must be loyal to the soul and the nature of the soul, which is truthful, honest, and unconditionally loving. How do you do that? By dedicating yourself to the spiritual force within you, which is called the Christ, and making it the number one priority in your life. Now, I know I've repeated that, but I've underscored it three times, so it must be important to Sally Kirkland. The Traveler teaches about the sacrifice of what is negative and limited in your consciousness, but sacrifice so that you may expand into what is positive and uplifting, so that you may discover your own Christ consciousness. When you won't sacrifice your anger for your loving expression, when you won't sacrifice your self-righteousness, which is wrongfulness, for kindness and loving words, when you won't sacrifice your point of view for the highest good, then you are not living the Christ consciousness. You are not living in grace. But when you direct yourself towards the expression of the Christ, you have the Christ consciousness on your side. If you go against it, you have a lot of nothing on your side. So know that you are the only one who can delay or block your progress. You are the only one who can cloud your awareness. By the same token, you are the only one who can recognize the Christ within. You are the one who can make the Christ a living reality in your life and who can demonstrate the unconditional loving and forgiveness to indicate the presence of the Christ. The awakening into the Christ may not be entirely pleasant. You have to let go of all the things you thought were necessary. Otherwise, you do not inherit that which is the Christ. So when you pray, pray for the strength to overcome all negative aspects, the wisdom to guide you into all positive aspects, and the ability to stay focused on the Traveler as you lifted into soul consciousness, into the realization of your true self, into the recognition of the Christ. You awaken to the light and to the inner Christ through loving, laughter, empathy, and involvement with all life as it presents itself to you. As you move through all the experiences that come to you, both in the outer world and the inner levels of your consciousness, and as you use empathy, loving, and forgiveness as the criteria for your behavior, you awaken to the inner wisdom of the Christ. It is a joyful day when you can know the Christ within, when you can live and demonstrate that beingness. It is an even greater day, and when you can look out and see the Christ in others, you are indeed blessed and beloved of God. And then I wrote out, you are indeed blessed and beloved of God. And then the next chapter is called The Highest Good of All Concerned. When we speak of the highest good, we speak of the highest God form, the God of all things. And when you honestly ask for things, quote, for my highest good, end quote, your experiences will be for your highest good. If you find yourself being blocked in your pursuit of a particular goal, you might be wise to step back, take another look at your actions and motivations, and reevaluate whether the goal is for your highest good and the highest good of all those around you. And when you are an initiative, a traveler, and just Sally Kirkland speaking, in the movement of spiritual and awareness, we have initiations and ordinations. And when you do 2 years of spiritual discourses, home discourses, at the end of that, you get initiated and ordained as the minister of life. So then it says, and when you are an initiate of the traveler and are working closely and consciously with spirit, there is no need to ask for anything beyond whatever is for your highest good, for your next level of unfoldment. All things are already being brought to you to lift you, to purify you, to prepare you to receive the keys of God's kingdom. And when you ask for the light for the highest good in relation to something you want, it is then also important to let go and forget about it. Just trust that if it's for the highest good, it will come forward. And if it isn't, it most likely won't. Societies will fall many, many times in the evolution of the planet, and governments will come and go. That is the nature of the planet. But the spirit stays forever. The key is this. Reach always into the spirit, to the highest good of all, and perceive all situations from that point. Excuse me. And then living in God's holy thoughts. The light is the energy of spirit that pervades all levels of consciousness. It is an energy that is of God. It is pure, uncorrupted, and available for our use. The light is in every aspect of your experience, in your expression. You have never been less than the light. That's who you are, in the fullness and the glory of all your consciousness. And the light is not sitting around chanting and looking holy all day. The light is the total beingness of all consciousness on all levels at all times. The light is everywhere. When you accept that, you've made your first step. Quote, light for the highest good, end quote, is a complete prayer. Nothing else is necessary. It will fulfill every need. No one really has control over the light. But if you're attuned to the light of Christ, you can ask that it be sent for the highest good to those people or situations that you feel could use it. If it can go for the highest good, it will go. And if it can't, it won't. By asking for the light, turning the page, By asking for the light, you can be in a state of constant prayer for the upliftment of everyone, full of love for the essence of that beingness. Then wherever you go, people will thank God that you're there, and that's really nice. It also assists your soul's growth when you silently send the light to others. I just want to stop here and say that that can look like you go inside and you say, Mother, Father, God, we ask just now for your light and the light of the Holy Spirit and the light of the Christ to go to Jay and Linda at HealthyLife.net for their highest good and the highest good of all concerned. We pray for their health and happiness and peace and joy and serenity. So be it. Okay. Those who know the light and want to know and experience more are those who receive responsibility for everyone with whom they come in contact. I'm sorry, I've got this cough this morning. This is a load that may scare many people away, but the load is just this. When you go out into the world, always ask for the light to surround and protect you and to move ahead of you for the highest good. Now as you do this, remember that the spiritual heart is the center from which you work in your outflowing of love. When people start coming too close to you, place the light between you and them and let the light take the karma. The light can handle it. All you have to do is maintain your awareness of the light. Place each situation and person you encounter into the light. There are a lot of ways to hold the light and send the light and work with the light. One way is that as soon as someone tells you about a situation, just pass it right into the consciousness of the light. We're going to take a short break and then come back for another segment. Hang in.
Our Our sponsor today has been the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. I, Reverend Sally Kirkland, give introduction tape, video, and audio seminars with the teachings of John Roger and John Morton. I can be accessed by your going into www.sallykirkland.com and emailing me or calling 323-650-2215. Welcome, and please find us. Another one of our sponsors today is the book, The Tao of Spirit, by John Roger and Mandeville Press. I'm looking at a quote on one page of the book of Lao Tzu's that says, "Without going outside, you may know the whole world." And a quote of John Roger's, "Don't let yourself get confused when you have depressions, anxieties, and frustrations that you're sitting anywhere less than in the presence of the Lord." This is a book that may also be accessed via the web, www.msia.org, and then going into Mandeville Press and asking about the book, The Tao of Spirit, or calling 323-737-4055. Our sponsor today has been Peace Theological Seminary, a sister organization of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. Peace Theological Seminary offers classes on the web. If you call 323-737-4055 and ask for PTS, they can put you on a free mailing list and explain the various classes that are offered, including classes in forgiveness, abundance, service, and many other subjects. Please, please, please call 323-737-4055 and ask for Peace Theological Seminary and ask to be mailed all of the available information. God bless you. Insight Seminars. Do you have the life you've always wanted? Do you have love, joy, confidence, success, and happiness? Are you as effective in creating what you want as you would like to be? We have ongoing seminars in Southern California and worldwide. Please go into www.insight.org or call 310-315-9733. As a graduate and a former facilitator of Insight 4 for 18 years, I can only say, do yourselves a favor. Do it.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hi there again. This is Sally Kirkland, and I've turned to a page in my book called MSIA Teaches the Awakening in Love. MSIA stands for the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. So it says, that's my church of 50 years. And my teacher, John Roger, is in heaven now, but he worked with me for 50 years, you know, maybe 40. The Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness is an esoteric mystery school, meaning that it's an inner process of moving into soul transcendence. MSIA is here to present points of view to you and to present ways that can work for you. MSIA didn't come forward to start anything new, for there is no need for it. The truth is on the planet and has always been here. There has been no dark age when truth was removed from the planet. People just went into darkness in their minds and consciousness and changed what was here to suit themselves. MSIA's outward expression is to bring people into a balance of working with each other and to bring greater conscious knowledge and understanding to each person. Other groups may teach awakening through anguish, pain, self-denial, abomination, or fear. We don't teach that. There would be little joy in that path, and the presence of joy is one of the best indicators that the spirit is present, joy and love. This love we teach in the Movement of Spiritual and Awareness is the love of understanding, acceptance, and support. It's the love that says, whatever you do is fine, I'll assist you, and I'll lift you. It's a peaceful, easygoing, flowing love. Everyone in your life can help you get in touch with the many aspects of yourself that are within you, and everyone can assist you in awakening to your loving. As you continually involve yourself in your movement of spiritual inner awareness, your awakening will happen in its own natural rhythm. As you awaken, you can anchor spirit in your life here, and through attunement, you can discover spirit and bring it to this level. MSIA teaches you to tune in to what is already inside you, what is already there. MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Awareness, works to show you how to do it for yourself, what you already know how to do, but have forgotten. It isn't so much bringing a lot of great talents and abilities to you. It's more just getting rid of all the things that block you from them. It's just a matter of being where you are and who you are, honestly, openly, purely. You are working with the spiritual path. Excuse me. You who are working with the spiritual path are moving right along. Look at the reference points 4 years ago, 3 years ago, last year, last month. Look at the reference points and then at where you are today, and you'll see that your progress, you'll see your progress and growth. These things come gradually and subtly. It's not thunder and lightning and fireworks. It's the glory of God flowing in and through you, but it's such a quiet way that you may not know it until much later. Your spiritual progress started back at some point when you said, Father, help me. Help me get through these things. And he answered. Okay, we have a few minutes left. I'm going to go to another chapter. It's called The Loyal Forces of the Opposition. I call the negative power the loyal forces of the opposition, since its job is to make sure we learn our lessons so that we can go back into the higher spiritual realms. It does much to strengthen us, and in this way it can be seen as positive. The loyal forces of the opposition are going to make sure that you are worthy of any new position you assume. They are going to make sure that you just don't think you know. They're going to make sure that you don't just go on faith. You're going to have to know and be able to accomplish what you say you can. You're going to have to experience, demonstrate, and manifest the soul consciousness. The negative power will come against you because its job is to make sure you become as strong as you can through the experiences of this world. Its prime directive is to distract you into the world so that you don't do, turn the page, so that you don't do things that will build the energy sufficiently. I'm sorry, maybe I said that wrong. That you don't do, I said it right, things that will build the energy sufficiently to thrust you through to soul consciousness. And as you get higher, the distractions become much more subtle. If you follow the direction of any negative form, it will become your focus. So be careful, because the negative power is very smart, and its lessons are not necessarily loving or uplifting. In the Movement of Spiritual Awareness, we do not pay a lot of attention to the negative power, but we do learn how to hold the focus of loving in the face of it, because we keep our attention on where we are going, soul transcendence and God. It can be a beautiful, beautiful world when you realize that the divine essence that is you is also within everyone else. When you cannot accept to love one person, you create separation towards everyone. You also create a separation between you and the God in you, and between you and the God in everyone. But it's easy to see a portion of God rolling up in front of you and everything you see. So you look for the divine in everything and everyone. The very first movement of spiritual inner awareness discourse says that MSIA, the movement, teaches the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. Love is the bond that creates the brotherhood, and love will set you free to discover the fatherhood of God. So stand up in the beingness of your own love, and let that love be your connection to all things. In personal relationships, you give and take and share. You lift one another, knowing that the one consciousness is the consciousness that's flooding through all and various levels of awareness. You must also be able to take the special love you have for a close friend or spouse, and in the spiritual quality of that love, give it to everyone who comes into your presence. When you recognize that we are all one, you will also know that if you hurt another, you hurt yourself. So you will automatically love and bless each one you meet, you will automatically forgive any action and seek to relive any process of guilt that might appear in yourself or anyone else, so that no one will be delayed on your account. There is truly only one beloved, the God form. You are part of it. Everyone is. When you look into the beloved, you separate and create two where there is only one. But we are one in God's loving heart, and there is only the beloved. So let yourself know the closeness and the fellowship of the beloved within you, and know that the apparent differences you perceive on the outer are only different reflections of the same inner essence. We walk through this life with God beside us as our guide. We are never alone, never separated, always loved and cared for. We are in God's heart. And the larger your spiritual heart becomes, the more you live in the center of your spiritual heart, the more you'll discover that you are awake in the heart of all the world. I know we're about to close, but I just want to say a few words about John Rogers. I met him in 1972, and he died in 2014. And he was by far the priority and the focus of my entire life, and continues to be so from the other side. He's an extraordinary saint, an amazing soul that was on the planet for the years that he was. I don't think there's been anyone that high from my point of view since Jesus was on the planet. I can't tell you how close I came to killing myself back in 1966. And I believe John Roger was John the Beloved in that lifetime with Jesus. And John the Beloved said to John Roger, Jesus said to John the Beloved, John Roger, you have to save Sally Kirkland. And even though I didn't meet him until 72, I was pronounced dead. And then through some miracle of Jesus and John Roger, I was alive, having been pronounced dead. My heart stopped, my lungs stopped. And when I wrote him a letter some years later, I said, did you have anything to do with my not dying and having a life after life? And he said, yes, Jesus asked me to save you and to come get you and bring you home to God. And it's very hard to put that. It makes me cry to put that into words, but it's true. It happened. And I'll never be able to sufficiently say how grateful I am that this man walked the planet for as many years as he did, John Rogers. So I've been reading from his book, Timeless Wisdom. If this affected you in a good way, you can call 323-737-4055, which is the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, and order your own book. Timeless Wisdom is Volume 1. New York Times, number one best-selling author, John Rogers. Anyway, I hope you all have a wonderful Monday. I'll be back next week. Wherever you are, Maggie, thanks for being my guest today. And take care of yourself so you can take care of others. Don't hurt yourself so you won't hurt others. And use everything that comes to you for your divine inspiration. So be it.